Absolutely. Good morning, the Huff Dalad Ahmed Alif. Omar of Chista. Sheikh Beisha Erva. Shenema. The Sheikh of Anisha is considered an Erva. Shenema. Galei Sheikh Ivri Nahoris. A pasuk in Yeshaya. Vexiv, Togil Ervoscha, Vigam Tire Cherpascha. So you see, the Sheikh is considered an Erva, the thigh of an Isha. Omar Shmuel, Koil be Isha Erva. Shenema, another pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Ki Koilech Orev. Umare Naove. Omer of Sheshes, Sar Beisho Ervo. Shenema, another pasuk, also in Shir Hashirim, where it says, Sa'arech Ke'eder Ho'izim. So this we saw at great length in the Shulchan Aruch and also in the Mishnah Berurah, various chalokim of the guf that would be considered an Ervo, Sar, Tefach, Shoik, Koil. And in the presence of which dvarim shebegedusha should not be said. Oma Rav Chanina. Rav Chanina said on the sixth bottom line, Ani Raisi, I saw as Rebbe shetala tfilov, who hung up his tefillin. Presumably when he had finished using them, he wanted to store them, and he hanged up his tefillin. Meisvei, you're not allowed to do such a thing. It says, Hatoyle tefillov, yiklu loy chayov, his life will be hung as well. And Doyrshe chamureis omru, there are those who Kilu wanted to derive this or attribute this to a pasuk, where it says, "Vahoyu chayecha teluyim lacha mineged." Your lives will be hanging in the balance. Ze hatoyle tefillov. This is referring to somebody who hangs up his tefillin. So how could it possibly be that Rabbi Chanina says he saw that Rebbe hanged up his tefillin, you're not allowed to do that. Says the Gemara Loi Kasha. This is not a difficulty. Hal Beretzua, Hal Bektitza. It depends which part of the tefillin you have hanging up. If it's the Retzua, or is it the Ketitza, the Bayis? So if you have the tefillin hanging by the Retzua, so it means that the bayis is dangling downwards. That's considered a bizoyim, and that's also. But if you have the tefillin hanging up by the bayis, such that the ritzuas are dangling beneath them, then that's okay. The ibayis ema. And some say, no, that's not the difference. Loishna ritzua, veloishna ketitza. There's actually no difference between a ritzua and a ketitza. Whether you hang your tefillin by the bayis or by the straps, either way it's asa. So what's the difference? V'chi tolo Rebbe, and when Rebbe allowed himself to hang up his tefillin, bekista tolo. He hanged it up, but the tefillin were in their cover, they were in the bag. So why is that a chidush? Yahachi ma'ila meima. So if so, what is this teaching us? Isn't it obvious that it's mutter? Says the Gemara, no, it's not so obvious. Ma'o the tema, I might have thought, tiboye hanocha, kasefa Torah. I would have thought that even in the cover, you actually still can't hang it up, and you've got to put it down like a sefer Torah. Komash malon, that is therefore the chidush. Meaning a sefer Torah, even if it's in its bag or in its cover, you still cannot hang it up. And you've got to put it down. So I might have thought that perhaps tefillin should be considered the same. Komash malon, this is the chidush over here. The tefillin is different to a sefer Torah. And if tefillin is in a bag, then it's allowed to be hanged up. That's the chidush. It's not so obvious after all. V'omer Rabbi Chiya t'chanino, said Rabbi Chanina, there's something else that I saw. Ani ro'isi es Rabbi, I saw Rabbi do something else, which was noteworthy l'halocha. Shegiyek. Giyek means when a person has eaten, as Rashi explains, sometimes he's over full and he's unable to help himself and there's a burp that emerges. Or piyek. Piyek means that he yawns because of tiredness. Venisatesh, or he sneezed. Or veroik, or he spat on the ground. Algaba karaka. These are all things that I saw that Rebbe did. And as we know, if you see a Talmud Chacham doing something, then that itself is proof that it must be mutter. Umamashmeish babigdei. And furthermore, the way Rashi learns, I saw him rubbing his beged in order to remove some lice. Avol loy hoyo misatif. But what he did not do, the way Rashi learns, these are all things that he did in the middle of davening. But what he did not do was in Noflo Talisoi Kishuhu Mispalel. If his talis ever fell off whilst he was davening, Loi Hoyo Noiklo Umisatif. He did not then pick it up and put it on again, says Rashi. Why? Shaloi Lahafsik, in order not to interrupt his Shmoy Maestro. Furthermore, Ukashuhu Mafaik, and whenever he did, that was the first on this list, Piek means he yawned. Whenever he yawned, Hoyomaniach Yodoi Al Sentero, he used to put his hand over his chin, means cover his mouth. Let's ask the kasha now from a braisa. It says in the braisa, Hamashmiya koiloi bitfilose. What happens if somebody makes his voice audible whilst davening? Davening clearly means Shmoneh Esra. Hareze miktane emuna. Then he clearly is on a low level of emuna. If he was on a high level of an emuna, he would realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can hear you even when you are silent, as long as you say the words. Hamagbia koilo bitfilosei. If somebody not only makes his voice audible, but he actually raises his voice, which means he davens loudly, then that's even worse. Then harizem neviyei hasheker. Then he's considered like the false prophets, because we know in the psukim, they screamed to their God, quote unquote. The braisa then continues and it says, and this is what's relevant to us, it says, Hamagaik Vamafaik. The person either is Magaik, a burp or a yawn in the middle of davening. Harizem migase haruach. He's a gas ruach. A lowly person is considered over familiar with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vahamisatesh bitfilosoi. And if somebody sneezes in the middle of davening, simen ra'aloi, then that's a bad sign. And some say Niker Shuhu Mukhur. It's clear that he's a disgusting person. And horoik b'tfilasai, kilu roik b'fnei amelech. If somebody spits in the middle of davening, it's like spitting in front of the king. That's the end of the braisa. So it seems to be pretty clear in this braisa that the various activities that Rabbi Hanina saw his Rebbe do are not exactly very commendable. Whether it's megahik, mafahik, roik, or misatish. All of these various things, the braisa does not exactly discuss in very praiseworthy terms. So the Gemara goes slowly. The Gemara says, Bishloima, Megahik, and Mafahik, Loikasha. I can easily answer the contradiction, the apparent contradiction, with regard to somebody who burps or yawns, because I can say, Kan Loin Soi, and Kan Lerutsoinoi. There's a very important distinction that can be made between somebody who does so willingly or somebody who does so out of onus, not a conscious decision to do so. So if you consciously decide you're going to be megahik or mafayik in the middle of davening, then yes, that's considered a gase haruach. That's considered extremely over-familiar and disrespectful behavior in the middle of davening. The fact that Rebbe did so was la'oinsei. If it was an oinus, he couldn't help yawning, couldn't help burping. It's not his fault. And therefore, that's not considered to be migase ha'ruach. So that's not a kasha. Hello. Misatesh a misatesh kasha. But with regard to sneezing, that is a kasha. Why? Because when it comes to sneezing, nobody sneezes willingly. So therefore, if the braisa says that if you sneeze, it's a siman ra, and yet we have Rebbe sneezing, then we cannot distinguish and say one is ba'inus and one is baratza. So it seems very unlikely that Rebbe who sneezed in the middle of davening, what are we going to say? It's a siman ra. So the Gemara says, no, it's also not a problem. Nami lo kasha. Misatish and misatish nami lo kasha. Kan milamalo and kan milamato. A person can emit, as it were, a sneeze, either from the top of his guf or the bottom. If it is from the lower part of the guf, then enochanami, that's considered a sermon ra. But if it's from the top half of the guf through the nose, then it's not a sermon ra. Da Omar Rav Zeira, Ha Milsa Ivlo Eli. The following matter was taught Bei Rav Hamnuna, the Tekila Li, Kikula Talmudoi, and this is worth to me all of the Talmud. I heard the following lesson, and it's very, very precious for me to hear this. What did I hear? Hamisatish Bitzfilosoi. It's in fact siman yofeloi. What we said before, that if you misatesh b'tfilosa, it's a siman ra'aloi, that's from the lower part of the guf. But if somebody's misatesh, somebody sneezes, what we call a sneeze, from the top half of the guf, that's actually a siman yofe. It's a good sign. And when he heard that, he was delighted, because this is something that happened to him frequently. And we say that kishem sho'isim lo nachas ruach milmato, very, very interesting halacha. Wherever Rabbi Yosef, ever you sneeze in the middle of davening, you should know that's a very good sign. Siman yofele. So far, we don't have any kashas with regard to megahik and mafahik. The reason why Rabbi did so, because he did it ba'oinus, which is fine. With regard to sneezing, that's not a siman ra. To the contrary, it's a siman yofele. So what's left remaining? How did he spit? Elo says the Gemara, Kasha roik aroik. Elo roik aroik kasha. But with regard to spitting, that does seem to be problematic. Because on the one hand, the Braisa says, if anybody spits in the middle of davening, that's extremely disrespectful. It's like spitting in front of the king. And yet Rabbi Chanina said, you saw Rabbi do exactly that. How can that be? Says the Gemara, no, that's not a problem either. Roik aroik nami leikashia. Why? Efsha kudar Rabbi Yehuda. Because we can suggest that he was following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. What does Rabbi Yehuda say? Doma Rabbi Yehuda. If somebody was standing in the middle of davening, he was in the middle of davening and all of a sudden saliva appears in his mouth, so it's hardly his fault. So what should he do? Mavliya betalisoi. Best is just to get rid of it in his beged. Vim talis noehu, and if it's a very nice talis and he doesn't want to do that, then mavliya ba'ar parkasusoi. Prakasuse is his head covering. And therefore, it's not difficult. Because you see that Rabbi Yehuda clearly says that if saliva just nizdamin loy, what does nizdamin loy mean? It just happened to appear in his mouth. Then if he's mavliat into the beged, then that's okay. Whereas, when the Braisa says that if somebody spits in the middle of davening, that's considered disrespectful, that is when he spits on the floor in a very noticeable way. But when he just covers his mouth with a beged and he releases the saliva so that it's absorbed into the beged, then that's not clearly disrespectful, and that's what Rabbi did. Ravina Avakoi Achoire Dravashi. Ravina was standing behind Ravashi in shul. Nizdame loy roik, clearly roik happened to come into his mouth. Pitke la achoire. So he got rid of it behind him. Neither did he spit in front of him, nor did he allow it to be absorbed in the baget. Amale loy sovar lo ma lohod Rav Yehuda. Do you not hold of Rav Yehuda, who said Mavliya Ba'apar Kususay? Why did you release it behind you? Do you not hold of Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda says the correct thing to do is to release it into your beged. On Malay, he said, what should I do? Ano Anina Datoy. What does it mean, Anina Datoy? I'm a finicky person. I'm an istemis. And therefore, the thought of releasing the saliva into the beged is too ghastly for me to consider. I think perhaps most of us would feel that way too. I'm not sure if we'd be thrilled to see somebody release saliva behind either, but either way, that's what he did.
What are the boundaries of being an instance?
It's a very personal thing.
Like a two-day yontif and I get very schwitzy. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are, you know, how much can you separate from basic halacha and say?
One has to know, an istanis doesn't mean it's mutter to do everything you like. An issa, for example, take a shower and you do, but even if a person's an istanis, I don't know what exactly is mutter. But for example, this is very negea. Welcome, by the way, Ramesh Zelik. Good to have you with us. In the 9 days, for example, there's an issa to have a shower. So in this country in particular, where the 9 days is in the height of the summer and it can become very, very hot. So clearly, I think it'd be fair to say that many people might well categorize themselves as an istanis. And for them not to have a shower is unbearable. So there's a beautiful, beautiful Lashon that I quote every year in the Shiurim from Shevet HaLevi, Rav Ozner. And Rav Ozner writes in a tshuva, he was asked this shaila, is there room for leniency? Somebody in the 9 days who just feels extremely hot and sticky and uncomfortable. So he writes, if somebody's an istanis and he literally can't bear it, not that it's just a little bit uncomfortable and inconvenient, that's the whole purpose, it's supposed to be. But if somebody literally can't manage, he can't function, it's considered a lack of kavod abrius, then he says, yes, there might well be room for leniency. But then he adds in this beautiful line, he says, Vahadovar Masur. He says this subject is Mosur Lelev Yorei Shomayim. This subject is all dependent on the heart of the Yorei Shomayim, Lo Da'as, to know Mosai Lahokel Bazeh. So I always say in the Shia, please do not call me. I don't answer phone calls like this. A person has to know for himself. These are the guidelines. When a person is in the shower, nobody will ever know, just him and the Rabbeinu Shalom. If he genuinely feels that he simply cannot manage, and it's a lack of covered habrius, and you'll excuse me, but I have been, unfortunately, standing with people during the 9 days, and it's possibly unpleasant to be in their presence, and that's clearly not what Chazal had in mind. There's a very big difference between not taking a shower, you know, and sitting half an hour in a bath with bubble bath and 55 soaps, etc., etc., as opposed to having a basic wash, at least in those areas of the goof that are sticky. And to not do so and have to be in their presence and just to be extremely unpleasant is not what Chazal had in mind. So you'll say, so what exactly is mutter? What about the shoulders? What about the legs? And what about the back? And what about the... So that's how I said, every person has to know for themselves. And that's what Rav Osman was referring to.
Rav Bess in Los Angeles once said that someone asked him, why do I have to abstain from showering during the 9 days? So Rav Bess answered him, if you were sitting Shiva for your father, would you shower? And the person said, no. He said, well, this is the same thing.
Right. This is a difficult halacha, but Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wrote exactly the same. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wrote, he said, I don't get as many shailas from people sitting Shiva as I do during the 9 days, even though the halachas are very similar. So this is not a criticism, this is the unfortunate reality that we perhaps feel a disconnect. And if Rahman al-Islam, somebody had to sit Shiva, he doesn't feel disconnected, he feels very connected. But when it comes to the 9 days and you're looking for every single kula under the sun, I'll never forget my first year here in Gimel. Somebody said to me, is it okay? I made a siyum. I'd like to push it off to the 9 days and make a big barbecue for all my family and neighbors. Meaty barbecue. Because it's a siyum, which I pushed off. So what should I tell him? There's no sif in Shulchan Aruch that says, do not make a meaty barbecue in the 9 days. So work out for yourself whether you think this is appropriate, I said to him. And if it's not, then don't do it. And if you think it is appropriate, never. So either way, the halachas of istinus are very, very, very personal, very, very subjective. And a person has to be honest, and I think the best example of this halacha is showering the 9 days. So a person feels it is absolutely necessary, then whatever is necessary should be done in a minimal way. But even then, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden it's a blanket heter. I'm extremely hot, can I have a shower? Yes. Well, why yes? So wash delicately those areas of the goof that you feel are presenting the problem. And if in all honesty you feel that that will not suffice, then you'll have to do more. And if you feel that without soap it will not suffice, then you'll have to do more. But like I always said, it's something you can't ask a Rav. Because you're in the shower together with a Rabbeinu Shleilam and nobody else knows. By the way, an istanis can have chumras as well, not just a kula. The Prima Godin discusses in Hilchos Shabbos, what happens if you have water or any other liquid, for example, which might have little bits of something in it, which most people are not makbid about. For example, in this country, many, many people do not filter their water. They quite happily switch on the tap and drink tap water. Now, even though you might well know that if you do filter the water, you are likely to be extracting pieces of dirt or whatever it may be, but it doesn't bother most people, at least people who have been living here for a while. So the Prima Godin has a discussion, what happens if somebody's an istanis? If somebody's an Easternist, maybe it's Asa. Why? Because for most people who don't care, they don't consider this Eichel and Psoilis. There's no mixture over here. But if somebody's very, very fussy and he cannot drink water without filtering it, so for he may have to consider the water as an Eichel mixed together with Psoilis. In which case, therefore, there is a Shaila of Boirer on Shabbos for a person like that. So you see that the halachas of Easternis can go either way. Okay, back into the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Hamashmiya koilei b'tfilosei, if somebody davens in an audible way, Harizeh miktani emun omar huna, lo yishanu, that was only ever taught to us, elo, sheyochal lechavin, es liboy belachash. If he's able to be mechavin, even whilst davening quietly, then he should not be davening audibly. Aval ein yochal lechavin es liboy belachash. But if he's unable to have proper kavana whilst davening silently, then it's mutter, then it's no problem to daven even in a way which is audible. But the Gemara immediately qualifies that. Vahani mili b'yochid. That only refers to somebody who's davening in private. Aval b'tzibur, not. Very important halacha. Because osi lemitrad tzibure. Because you will come to disturb the tzibur. Means if you're in shul, and I'm sure you've all experienced this, I certainly have, very, very annoying, and in fact, wrong. If you're standing next to somebody and you can hear his davening, Shmoyne Esra, every word. So he might be davening with all the kavana in the world, which is wonderful, but if he's disturbing his neighbor, then it should not be done. So if a person is davening at home, even then, essentially, you should be davening quietly. If you cannot be mechavan that way, then you can daven in an audible way. But if you're in shul, it should be quietly. If you remember, we saw this in Shmoneh Esra in the Shulchan Aruch. This doesn't mean just think the words or peruse the words with your eyes. Of course, you've got to say the words. And if you remember, we saw in the Shulchan Aruch, and this is a very delicate balance, we saw that you've got to say the words, at least in a way that you yourself can hear those words, but not your neighbor. Not the person sitting in front of you. Okay, let's carry on. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Abba, we're on the fourth wide line now. Rabbi Abba have a komishtamit minei de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Abba made it a point to avoid Rabbi Yehuda. Why did he want to avoid Rabbi Yehuda? He knew Rabbi Yehuda would be upset with him. Because he lived in Bavel and he wanted to go up to Eretz Yisrael. Well, what's wrong with that? But the Omer of Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda is very against. Because he said, whoever does Aliyah from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael is over Ba'asei. Shenema, it's a posakim. Yirmiyo, where it says, Bovelo yuva uva shomo yu. They will be in Bovel and there they will remain. Ad yoim pokti oisam. Until the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings them back. Nu'um Hashem. So therefore, he had to very carefully avoid Rabbi Yehuda because he knew that if he does bump into Rabbi Yehuda will not be best pleased with him. Omar, but he said, on the one hand, I don't want to actually confront him, but I do want to go and hear the shir. I want to hear his Torah. Omar Ezel ve'eshma minei milsa. So I'm going to go and I'm going to hear from him something mi beis va'ado. I'm going to stand in the beis va'ad, which is like the outside room of the beis hamedrash. So I'm not actually going to go into the beis hamedrash because then he'll see me, but I'll stand outside and then v'hodar apik, and then I'll go home. And I won't have to see him at all. So what did he hear? Ozal, and he went, Ashkechen, he found Latona Dukhtoni Kamid Rabbi Yehuda. He found the following statement was being told in front of Rabbi Yehuda. Hava oimed betfilo v'nis atish. if somebody is standing in tefillah v'nis'atesh. Now here we're talking about nis'atesh, not lemalo, but lemato. So therefore you have the issue of a reach ra in the middle of davening. Mamtin ad sheyichre horeach. So he has to stop his davening and wait until the odor elapses and moves away, and then v'chayzo omispalo. And then you can go back to davening. Ikud Omri. Some have a slightly different version. Hayayomed b'tfilo ubikesh lehisatesh. And he wants to be misatesh, not that he has done so already. Marchik la'achayrav daladamas. So he should move backwards so as not to be in the original place that he was davening. Umisatesh. And then umamtin at sheyich lehoreach. And then v'chayzor mispalo. And then you should go back and davening, and you should say, "Va'ima, Ribbono Shelolam Yitzartanu, you created us, Nakovim, Nakovim, Chalulim, Chalulim, with all types of edifices and pipes in our goof. Golui v'yodua lefanecha, cherposenu v'chlimosenu b'chayenu, you know full well our lowliness and our shame whilst alive, u'ba'achriseinu." And you're also fully aware of our eventual demise and end. And then he should resume his davening from wherever he left off. So this is the halacha that Rabbi Abba heard from Rabbi Yehuda. He didn't so much hear it from his face directly because he was avoiding him, but he went to the back of the Beis HaMedrash or behind the Shirum and he heard this halacha. And he was very excited. Omalei, and he said, "Ilu loy bosi elo lishmoya davoze." If I only would have come just to hear this halacha, dayoy, that would suffice. It's a very important halacha. Tan Rabbanon, we're continuing our chazara. Hayo yoshein betalisa. If somebody is sleeping in his talis, so he's not clothed, but he's just surrounded by his talus, a cloak. Ve'ino yochoi lohoitzi es roishoi. And it's too cold. He's completely underneath a cover. And he cannot take his head out of the cover. Why not? Mipnei hatzina. Because it's too cold. So what is the issue? The issue is roya eso ervo. He's not clothed, he's underneath the bed covers. You cannot recite Krishna if you can see the Erva. So Choytzeitz betalisoi al tzavorin. So he should at least be Choytzeitz. He should use this talus. Remember, we keep on using the word talus, not as the way that we use it, but talus just means a garment, a beggar, material. So he should be Choytzeitz. He should take the cover and hold it close to his neck, al tzavore. And so now there really is a barrier between his eyes and the erevo. So you no longer have the issue of roya eso erevo. However, the yeshoimrim aliboy. And then b'koyri kriyashma, but the yeshoimrim aliboy. Some say it does not suffice to place the blanket over your neck. You've got to put it by the heart. Why? Because if you remember, we always said there's two issues. There's roya eso erevo and liboy roya eso erevo. The first opinion clearly does not seem to be concerned with that. The Tanakama says the Gemara, hari liboy roya eso erevo, ? How did the Tanakama allow you? How was that sufficient? Just for the covering to be covering the neck, but then there's no barrier between the lave and the erevo. And the answer is Kosava, because he holds Roya Eso Erva is Muta. It's only if his Einayim can see the Erva. But if his Lev can see the Erva, then according to the first opinion, that's okay. Halacha Lemaisa, we paskin that it is an issue. Not only if his Einayim can see the Erva, also Liboy Roya Eso Erva. And if you remember, we discussed this is Negeya every single day of the year. Besides for Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, a woman who goes to table in the mikveh and has to say a bracha. So even if in theory she would close her eyes, that doesn't help. Because how is she going to recite a bracha when there is no barrier between the lave and the erva? And that's why they are told correctly they should fold their arms below the level of their heart. Not only fold their arms, but hold their arms close to the guf, such that the arms now act as a chatzitza, as a barrier between the lave and the erva, and then they can say a bracha. Okay, we'll hold it over here, Rabbi Isai, and Bezos Hashem will continue next time.
Oh, awesome.